This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and electric vehicles really are one of the green future steps that we can take in the not too distant future to try and do our part for the environment. But apparently Australians aren't taking them on as readily as our counterparts overseas. I'm joined this morning by Minister for Energy and Mining, Danvin Hospelikan. How are you this morning, Minister?
Yeah, good, Jordan. Thank you for having me on your program.
So what's the hold up with Australians and electric vehicles?
Well, I don't think there's a hold up. I don't actually think there's a problem. I mean, Australians will take up electric vehicles when Australians are ready to do it. We're doing an enormous amount of work in South Australia. In fact, we're leading the nation in that regard with regard to investing in electric vehicles as a state government. Our fleet, every time a vehicle is turned over in the state government's fleet, it's now a requirement that if an electric vehicle is fit for purpose and can deliver the same results, that must then be a consideration. That's not necessary. It must be purchased, but there is an expectation that for the same value, the same purpose, our government will buy electric vehicles. We're also co-investing with private industry into an electric vehicle recharging network for the entire state. We actually received, I think it was about a week ago, we received in all the expressions of interest. We've got a draft map covering all of the state. And in fact, regional areas are the focus of this. We've got nearly $20 million on the table for our delivery of an electric vehicle plan. So we're doing lots on this. It might just be that, you know, Australia, compared to other nations around the world, has more country, more space, more regional areas, and not the same number of massively big cities that other countries do. So Australians, are just looking at the vehicles they need through a different lens to the way people who might live in the middle of, you know, New York or Paris or London or Rome or Tokyo or anywhere else might do. I'm quite comfortable with that. Electric vehicles are coming and they're going to be fantastic.
As you said, South Australia really is leading the way in Australia as far as, you know, green energy and renewable energy goes.
Yeah.
Maybe is there something that the federal government could be doing to make it more attractive to purchase a electric vehicle?
Well, look, if you're talking about subsidies and things like that, I don't think that's necessary, to be honest. The cost of electric vehicles is coming down all the time. They are still a bit more expensive than conventional vehicles, but when you factor in not having to purchase, you know, petrol or diesel, having a completely different and much lower maintenance schedule and maintenance cost and a range of other things. Right now, the numbers I've received show that for the average passenger vehicle, you were talking about a $4,000 difference. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody should pay $4,000 more for something they don't want. There'll be some people who do want that and they're in a position to do it, and that's terrific. I'm not saying people should spend the money for no reason. But, you know, it used to be $6,000, it used to be $8,000, it used to be $10,000 and much more. The cost of them is coming down and very soon will be comparable, if not lower, than combustion and compression engine vehicles, petrol and diesel. And in fact, GM, one of the largest automobile makers in the world, has said that by 2035, I believe, it might even be 2030, but I think it's 2035, they will only produce electric vehicles. So, you know, it's coming. It's coming. And we want to do everything we can as a government to help consumers make the transition when consumers want to make the transition. There's a lot of benefits, a lot of very, very positive benefits for our state and our country when people do take up electric vehicles. But I'm not in the business of trying to force anybody to buy one rather than another. I just want to make that transition as attractive and as smooth as we possibly can.
And of course, just changing topics, Jeff Brock, the independent member for Frome, recently has managed to get an inquiry into mining exploration through the Parliament. What are your thoughts on this? Because I know it's something that the government voted against.
Yeah, look, I can understand the attraction of wanting to, you know, get some attention. I can understand the attraction of wanting to establish the select committee in Parliament to look into what is at times a challenging issue. So look, I get all of that. I do worry very genuinely, though, that perhaps, well, in my opinion, definitely what this does is actually just slow down the process. This committee is going to report back to Parliament on the 16th of November, the last scheduled sitting week of the year. That's a date that the committee itself has chosen, which means that, you know, nothing can be done with this information in Parliament until after the next election, early next year. Parliament won't sit until probably May 2022. It's not actually going to make a difference with regard to looking for the improvements that the ag sector and the resources sector want and are receiving. We made a huge number of steps forward with regard to free information service, allowing the Small Business Commissioner to support farmers, extra time, extra money, a wide range of things with the mining bill. And we've actually have already embarked upon the next range of benefits we can flow through. And I worry that this committee is really just going to slow down the delivery of those benefits to landholders and the resources sector. And I think that'll be a great shame.
Hmm. And of course, it's gotten a bit of traction with your regional counterparts as well, in Jeff Brock, Eddie Hughes, and even recently made independent, volunteered independent Fraser Ellis. How do you see their concerns as regional MPs in regards to this?
Well, look, they're entitled to their opinions, regional MPs, and me being one of them. You know, we work very, very closely together. Those people that you just mentioned are friends and colleagues. I've got a very productive working relationship with every one of them. I just think that they're on the wrong path. If what they really, really want to do is get some benefits for landholders, farmers, station owner operators, and the resources sector, which is also a massive employer in our region. If they really want to get benefits for those groups and for the people that we all represent collectively in country and outback South Australia, well, putting a committee up to talk about it for the rest of the year and having it report back on the last day of Parliament so that nothing can be done until the first day of Parliament, deep into the following calendar year, I don't believe that is the most expedient way to get the benefits that we all want to get. So I'm just going to keep working as a local member of Parliament and as also a minister. I'm just going to keep working to improve the outlook for landholders and for the resources sector. I know there's a way forward that they can both operate very well together. Farming and agriculture more broadly is South Australia's largest and most important industry, has been for a long, long time, will be for a long, long time. Mining is our most important growth sector, and I'm determined that they will both thrive together, because in regional South Australia, we want as many jobs as we can possibly get with responsible industries doing the best thing. That's actually what all of our electorates need more than anything else.
And of course, changing tact again just one more time. With Port Augusta, we know that there's been a lot of attention on antisocial behaviour. The local council and the state government have been in a lot of talks to work out a solution on how best to approach the situation. We have heard that there's been quite successful talks there, and we're still waiting to hear, I guess, specifics on what's going to be in place. What's happening from the state government's side?
Yeah, look, thanks again, Jordan. We have made some really positive miles on this, both myself and Mayor Brett Benbow primarily, but others as well have been working hard on this. And I've got to give Superintendent Paul Roberts from Port Augusta credit in this area as well. We've already got the information with regard to resource reallocation. So there are some areas between local council, state government, and federal government where resources, and I'm talking essentially money and people and skills, there's some areas of double ups and there's some gaps that haven't been filled. So what we're working hard on is reallocating those resources so that we can cover those gaps. And we have a group of people being put together to lead and direct that work. I've just through this week sort of finished discussions with the council on who would be on that group. The list has been drawn up. We're just pulling the people actually together. But none of this is holding up progress. Police, Department of Human Services, council themselves, and many others have actually been working very hard and made significant progress on the ground in Port Augusta. There's still more to do. I'm not suggesting for a second that work is finished. That progress has been made. But we're determined to put systems in place, get things right for the rest of this year, but more importantly, perhaps, every summer from now on, because this is not a new issue. People from the north of the state have been coming to Port Augusta for decades and decades. We need to find a way to help them, and we also need to find a way to strongly encourage them to behave in Port Augusta the way we would expect people to do. When you come from somewhere else and you come to a community, that community has a responsibility to welcome you and help you. But as a visitor, you also have a responsibility to fit into that community, particularly with regard to not participating in antisocial behaviour.
No worries. Well, Minister, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you again, Jordan.
That was Minister for Mining and Energy, Dan Van Oss-Pelican, on your Classic It's Breakfast.